Welcome to the Heme Consults Podcast, a weekly inspiration infusion for women of color and hematology. Dear woman of color and hematology, Heme Consults is your personal space to rest, recharge, and renew your spirit with a weekly infusion of inspiration from hematologist Dr. Toyosi Onwemena. Every Sunday, Dr. Onwemena will remind you that you are a superstar and have everything you need to succeed in your incredible career as a hematologist. Welcome to the hematology sisterhood that will transform your world.
Welcome to the Heme Consults Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Onwemena. It is an absolute pleasure to be speaking to you today. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Because if you weren't here listening to me, I wouldn't be here speaking, even though I've already spoken, but it wouldn't be heard if you weren't listening to me. So I want to thank you so much for listening. I want to just encourage you, a woman of color in hematology, and everyone else who's listening, that you are a wonderful woman of worth, and you are incredible, talented, creative, and all of that needs to be seen and heard. And if for whatever reason you do not feel seen or heard, I want to encourage you to find a safe space in which you can be seen, you can be heard, and you can feel seen and heard. And for many of you who are listening to me, you may be the first person in your space. You may be the only person like you in your space, or you may be isolated from other people who you feel like share your experiences in the space. And because of that, you're suffering in silence or you're lonely. I want to encourage you not to be lonely. And that seems easier said than done. But I want to say that if there is one of you and you don't have anyone who is like-minded, if there's no community, I want to invite you to create the community you need. Create the community that you wish to see. Because that's one thing that you are good at. You are creative. You're able to bring, you know, something out of nothing. You're able to create a future that nobody can see yet. And I want to invite you, if you do not have the support structures that you need, and invite you not to languish, and invite you not to have a pity party, I want to invite you not even to talk about it, but to say, today, I'm going to make a change for myself. For you to reach out to somebody who also needs community, and for the two of you to begin the shared community that you need, for you to see each other, hear each other, and to acknowledge that you are both seen and that you do see and that you hear and you are heard. And so I want to encourage you, if you do not already have access to community, create the community you wish to see. And one thing you could do is be part of our community, and we would love to have you here in the COAG coaching community. We would love to have you. And you don't have to be in this community to have community. But I want to invite you not to be alone. I want to invite you to be part of community and to create the community you wish to see. All right. Thank you so much for listening. All right. So I want to share a beautiful experience I had today. And I attended at my institution the very first Black Women in Medicine event. It was an inaugural event, which means that we will be having this event every year from now on. And how was I even invited? I'm not even sure, because sometimes things like this are going on and I have no idea, but someone intentionally was trying to reach as many faculty members as possible. And they sent out an email, I think, to as many faculty members as possible to invite them to this event. And so that's how I heard about it. And I thought, this is such an awesome experience. The Student National Medical Association, the SNMA, is organizing this event, and I was invited as a faculty member, and I thought, I definitely got to show up, because what an opportunity for me to meet students. I would say, as part of my role in hematology, it's not, you know, a major, it's internal medicine, right? It's an internal medicine subspecialty, but when students are rotating through, they pass through internal medicine. They don't necessarily go to the subspecialties. And so I don't get to see as many students. I don't get to see as many residents. I see a fair number of fellows who are in hematology oncology, clearly. They're in the subspecialty. I see residents who sometimes rotate through, not very many. And then students I rarely see. When I do see them, they're students who have finished with all their rotations and they're like, okay, I just want to do hematology. Or they're students from other institutions who want an opportunity to do an internal medicine rotation at Duke.
But so it was such an opportunity. I'm so glad I went. I got to meet some talented, beautiful, amazing women in medicine and to talk with them and encourage them. And it's so funny. You just don't realize how important it is for you to be in the spaces that you occupy because of the people who are inspired or encouraged by your presence. And it is a great thing to pass through something because then you can remind someone that they are also going to come through as well. So it was a powerful space. And there were three questions that we answered as part of our mix and mingle. And I want to share those three questions with you and probably answer them on this platform too. So question number one was to tell a story about a Black girl moment. Number two was to share something you love about being a Black woman. Number three was share one woman of color who has encouraged you. So give somebody flowers, right? While they're still living, give somebody flowers and they didn't have to be in the room. So the story I shared about the Black girl moment was a story of when I went into work one day. It was winter. So I was wearing a coat over my white coat. I was wearing a winter jacket over my white coat. And it was the time of COVID. So we had an employee's entrance and then we had an entrance that was for patients as well. And so I am walking, about to walk in through the door that's for employees. And of course I have my badge. It's on my white coat, which is under my jacket. But at the moment at which I approach the door, somebody else is coming out, which is great, right? Someone's coming out the door. I don't have to show my badge. I'm just going to walk through the door, but I wait because this person is coming through the door. I wait for her to come out and I open it. I hold the door open because I was trying to be respectful. And so this person, I think, thinks that I'm a patient trying to escape through the employees only door. And she turns around very sternly, says, "This door is for employees only." Okay, I was trying to be calm. And so I'm not saying it the way she said it. But, you know, if you want to change the tone and make it pretty aggressive and pretty threatening, that was exactly the tone. And you know, those moments where, you know, you have an experience and you wish you had a comeback in that moment that was so perfect and so sweet. Well, I didn't have that. I was just stunned because there I was thinking, oh, this woman is coming out the door. Why don't I step back and let her through? And then I get, this door is for employees only. Or something like that. It was just not very respectful. And I remember I may have said something along the lines of, "Oh, I know." And I was angry. It just didn't land like it was supposed to. I don't know what I was hoping, but it didn't happen. Anyway, but I remember thinking in that moment, like, okay, you know, even if I was a patient, I would hope you would speak to me a bit more respectfully. I would hope that you would kindly say, hey, I know you're trying to get in, but I would love for you to go to the patient. You know, it wasn't even a respectful experience. So it wasn't like, oh, you're a person coming through the wrong door, let me show you the right door. It was very much, you have no right to be trying to come through this door. Get out now. So it could have been a better experience. It absolutely could have. Anyway, so I tell the story at the event and the young women who are around me are like, "Oh, I'm so sorry you experienced that. That was so awful." And to be honest, in the moment, I was just mad. It wasn't really an awful thing. It was just like, what? I was mad. But it was also another one of those where I was like, no, you're not stopping me from coming into work today. You are not changing my experience today. Because what happens? You get mad. I'm on my way to round with the fellows. And I'm going to carry that anger into round with the fellows. And they'll wonder, what's wrong with this woman? Why is she behaving that way? And then I'm going to carry that anger and go talk to patients. And they'll say, well, what is going on with this woman? Like, my job is to, every time I, you know, experience a microaggression or an overt act of bias is to say, okay, I am mad. And then to help myself get to a place where I can let the anger go so it stops hurting me and so it doesn't hurt other people as well. So I love the story actually because it's a great story to tell, right? At my institution when they're like, hey, everybody come tell us moment when blah. And then I can say, hey, this is my story. And even if I was a patient, I should have been treated respectfully, right? So it's a great story. I now have that story. So I really think that I'm glad it happened. Well, you know, it's neither here nor there, but that it happened, it gave me a story. And now I can share my story and help people understand how they can think about how do we behave more respectfully in general, right? Anyway, it's okay that you thought I was a patient, but not okay that you treated me disrespectfully, right? Anyway, so it's a great story. I love to share that story. But it was also important that I share that story because other people have had similar experiences and they haven't been able to, you know, let it go. Like I've been able to let it go. Like I can tell the story, I can laugh about it. It doesn't bother me anymore. It bothered me, definitely bothered me in the moment, but I can let it go. And there's some people who that's their experience and it hurts so much and they can't let it go. Like, why would this person treat me that way? And my being able to share the story allows people to recognize that these kinds of experiences are kind of the norm for people of color, right? They're not unusual, right? People ask you, hey, are you supposed to be here? You don't look like someone's supposed to be here. And they're not necessarily nice about it. And so sharing my story allows someone else to see themselves in my story and to say, oh, I'm not the only one who's experienced this. Thank you for sharing. And people usually will say thank you. And it's important that we share our stories because number one, our stories are all we have, really. And because other people have had similar stories and they can locate themselves in our stories and it helps them with the healing process as well. Okay, that was question number one. Question number two was share something you love about being a Black woman. And I will say that one of the things I love the most is that even without trying, I inspire people. Oh my goodness. It's such a powerful thing. I walk through the hospital just doing my job, going from room to room, seeing patients, you know, and sometimes I'm just passing through. I'm just on my way from one space to the other, but I'm wearing my white coat. And I'm walking confidently through the hospital because I got places to go and I don't want to spend all the time doing it. And even when I'm not trying to impress anybody or to say, hey, look at me, I'm a big shot, I'm walking through the hospital confidently, wearing a white coat with my stethoscope, and there are people who see me and their heart sinks. Oh my gosh, I appreciate that. And I know it happens because sometimes people will stop me and they will say, are you a doctor? And they'll say, I'm so glad to see you. And sometimes I've had old women mostly old women stop me and say, oh my goodness, thank you so much for being here. I've done nothing. I'm just walking through the hallway and I inspire people. And that is a beautiful thing. It's also a big thing. It's a big responsibility. I better show up well. I better show up respectfully. I better be kind to people. I better just, you know, show up and be the kind of person that people can be proud to be associated with. And it's not to say, you know, oh my gosh, I carry this heavy weight of responsibility. It's just to say, I've been given a lot and I want to be worthy of what I've been given. It's a gift for people to see me, for their hearts to be proud, for them to feel like, oh my gosh, I saw something amazing today that inspired me. It's a big deal. And it's one of the things that I really appreciate about being a woman of color. It's that I don't have to do anything. Sometimes in spaces, I just show up. People are inspired by my being there. And so it encourages me and it reminds me that even though I don't necessarily live for other people, it reminds me that other people care that I'm in spaces. And even when they can't tell me, even when they're not able to share it, even when I'm feeling like on my lowest day, people are happy to see me. And because of that, I want to show up and I want to show up well. All right. Question number three was to share the story of a woman of color who has encouraged you. And I would tell you that on this platform, I've shared a lot about Betty Pace. She's just one of the women of color who stood out to me as someone who's really encouraged and inspired me. But there are so, so many. And today in particular, I want to shout out Brenda Armstrong. So Brenda Armstrong, when I came to Duke, was the associate dean for admissions, or she may have been, yes, she was the associate dean for admissions or the associate director, something like that. It was an important title. She was up there. And she, oh my gosh, was always fighting for all underrepresented students, underrepresented faculty. She was always fighting. She was always leading the charge against bias in the admissions process, always leading the charge to encourage people of all different backgrounds when they came. I mean, I knew when I came to Duke, it was a special place because of her touch. And she was intentional about diversity. And I know that I had the opportunity to love being at Duke. I mean, I came of my own accord, right? I chose to come to Duke. as a medical student, I chose to go as a medical student. And part of it was because when I came, she was a woman in a position of authority and I could see myself in her. I said, wow, if she's here and she's able to be in this leadership role, that means there's space for me too, to be in a place of leadership. And so she really encouraged and inspired me. And she is no more. She has passed on from this life, but her legacy still lives on because I'm not the only one for whom she made a significant difference. One of the things I love about her is that I still love about her is that even when you didn't think she was paying attention, she surely was. She is keeping track. She kept track of everyone who came through the med school, making sure that everyone was doing well, like they were supposed to be. So I want to say, Brenda Armstrong, thank you. Oh, there are so many people who've inspired and encouraged me. And, you know, when I first met her, she had such an impression on me. And I didn't even ever talk to her. I just saw her from a distance. And I could see that if she could make it that far, I could make it too. And it encouraged me. And that was so important and powerful. And that takes me back to what I said about the whole thing of what's one of the things that I love the most about being a woman of color. It's that I have that same effect too, even when I don't know I have it. And so it encourages me to be who I am, just fully me, fully wonderfully me. And I'm not saying I'm a wonderful person, even though I think I am, but I'm saying that I need to like build me and be, you know, live without bitterness and anger, fear, or shame. Live without all the emotions that cause me to like withdraw into myself and not come out and be a blessing to people, right? And that is one of the biggest challenges of being a woman of color in any space, is because people do challenge your presence. They say, are you supposed to be here? And if they can find something to use to hold against you, they do. And if we're not sure of ourselves, we take that and we're like, oh, maybe I'm not supposed to be here. And I would say for the longest time as a medical student on Duke's campus, I walked around feeling like they're going to find out that I'm not supposed to be here. Then they're going to ask me to go home. And it took me the longest time to recognize that, no, I was always supposed to be there. I was there because I was exactly where I was supposed to be. And so now I own my space and I also work hard not to allow microaggressions to pull me down, to make me bitter, to make me angry, because I do not look good when I'm angry. I look so ugly. I hate the look. It just looks so bad. Like my nostrils flare and my brow furrows and I just don't look good. And there are so many opportunities to be angry. I want to reject every one of those opportunities. Or if I'm going to be angry, I want to be angry briefly, then I want to let it go. Because I must show up as the person who inspires and encourages people, because people are watching me even when I don't know that they are. Now, do I say all this to say, hey, you should put some weird kind of pressure on yourself as the person who must show up and inspire people? No. Most of the inspiring of other people that you do in the spaces that you show up, you have no idea that you're even inspiring anyone. Like the only reason I know now is because enough people have told me that I'm like, okay, this is a thing. This is not just a one-off. It's a thing. So I know now, right? There are so many people who don't talk to me. There's so many people who don't. And I mean, let's flip it around. I remember once I was so mad, I threw a tantrum in a store. And there were probably people who saw me there and maybe one or two people who worked with me. And they're like, oh, this woman is crazy. Yeah, it was a long time ago when I still was struggling with how to manage anger when people were really acting poorly. But anyway, I say all that to say that most of the people who see me and decide one way or another about how they're going to move forward, they do it secretly, right? No one's telling me. And so I owe it to myself to show up as my best self. And a lot of that is shedding all the baggage of stuff that people try to throw at me, the shame, the fear, the anger, all the stuff, to shed it so that I can show up as my beautiful self. Ooh, all right. So that was an unorthodox episode in that I answered the three questions that were part of our icebreaker at the event today. And by the time you'd be listening to this, it's you know, it's already passed. It's not today, but I'm just sharing that at the time that I'm recording. This is the event that's playing the foremost in my mind. And I think I share all of this and the answers to the question to say, I want you to live life intentionally, and I want you to live life joyfully, and I want you to work hard on thriving wherever you are, because it matters to you. It matters when you don't show up with bitterness, because bitterness kind of poisons the soul, and it makes everything it touches equally bitter. So if you're bitter, it makes everything around you better. So you're not having a good time. And then all of a sudden you're kind of like muddying the water for the people around you too. So they're having a bitter experience as well. If you carry shame and you, even when you think no one can see you, somehow you are able to communicate that shame to other people so they experience it about you too. Same thing about fear or anxiety. If you carry that and you enter into spaces, people can feel it. They receive it from you, and then they're anxious about you being there too. So I want to invite you, every negative emotion, I'm not saying it's bad to feel it, but feel it and let it go. Don't hold on to it, because they're not meant to be held on to. They can be destructive. And I invite you to look for opportunities to practice joy, practice thriving, and practice stillness, practice mindfulness, whatever it is that allows you to recognize what steals your joy and to live joyfully to the best of your ability. All right, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. It is just always an honor to speak to you. And I want to thank you that you would listen to me and that you would listen all the way to the end. It's been a pleasure talking with you today, a woman of color in hematology. Remember, if you don't have the kind of community you crave, please go out and create it for yourself. But more importantly, create it because somebody else is coming to benefit from it. And it will be a blessing, not just to you, but to so many people who come after you. All right, take care, and I'll see you next time on the Heme Consults podcast.